The Iran peace talks just failed. Every headline is calling it a disaster. I think it was the plan all along. Today I want to walk you through five things. Why Trump sent his biggest dove to a negotiation designed to fail. What Iran accidentally revealed about itself at that table. How Trump flipped Iran's biggest weapon against Iran in less than 20 minutes. The nuclear offer that Iran rejected, and what that rejection actually proves, and finally, the one outcome from all of this that nobody's talking about. So, J.D. Vance flew to Islamabad to sit across from Iran's delegation. 21 hours of talks, and he came out with nothing. Now, the media is calling that a failure. I think it's the opposite. Because think about who Vance is. Vance represents the faction inside the American government that wanted to exhaust every option before escalation. He is the most diplomatic voice in the administration. Democrats like him. Republicans like him. A huge chunk of the American public shares his instinct for peace over war. And Iran knew this. Iran specifically requested Vance by name. They wanted the dove, and they got the dove. So ask yourself, why would Trump send his most peaceful negotiator into a room where the chances of a deal were close to zero? Because he needed the world to watch. He needed every country, every news network, every critic to see the one guy everyone agreed was fair walk into that room and get rejected. Vance walked in with an open hand and Iran slapped it away with the cameras rolling. Now, nobody can say the United States sent hawks to sabotage a peace. Nobody can say that Iran was set up. The most patient man in the room got told no. And here's what makes the whole thing revealing, because Iran did more than just say no. Iran told the entire world exactly what it wants. They refused to stop funding Hamas. They refused to stop funding Hezbollah. They refused to stop funding the Houthis. They refused to stop enriching uranium. They refuse to dismantle their nuclear sites, and they refuse to open the Strait of Hormuz unless every ship pays them a $2 million toll in crypto. So let me say that again. A regime that claims it wants peace just told a room full of diplomats that it plans to keep funding three terrorist organizations, keep building towards a nuclear bomb, and keep running an extortion racket on 20% of the world's oil supply. To me, that sounds like a confession. And the whole world heard it. Not from American intelligence, not from a leaked document, from Iran's own delegation, at the table, out loud. And Trump's response took less than 20 minutes. While Vance was still boarding Air Force 2 to fly home, Trump posted on Truth Social, and he announced a full naval blockade of the Strait of Hormuz, effective immediately. Now, think about the timing. Iran's biggest leverage in this entire war has been the strait. Iran shut it down, laid mines, set up a toll booth, and started charging ships to pass. They turned the strait into a weapon. The world's oil supply became Iran's hostage, and Trump just took the hostage back. The United States Navy is now controlling who enters and who leaves, and the rules are simple. Any ship going to or from an Iranian port, blocked. Every nation, no exceptions, any ship that already paid Iran's illegal toll, intercepted on the open sea. But any ship passing through the strait to go to Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Iraq, Qatar, or anywhere else, free to pass. No toll, no extortion, just open water. So American destroyers already sailed through the strait on Saturday, the first time since the war started. CENTCOM started clearing mines, and while all this is happening, a ship tracking firm confirmed that 121 empty oil tankers are now heading to the Gulf of America to load up on American crude. 61 of those are super tankers, each one capable of carrying 2 million barrels of oil. The world can't get oil through Iran's extortion lane anymore, so the world is coming to America instead. So Iran spent 6 weeks squeezing the world for money, and in one move, Trump turned Iran's leverage into America's biggest oil export opportunity in decades. Now, I know some of you are asking a fair question. Didn't the United States already bomb Iran's nuclear facilities last year? Didn't Trump say those facilities were obliterated? The strikes did massive damage. Iran's centrifuges at Fordo are no longer operational. Multiple sites took direct hits. But the uranium itself, roughly 970 pounds of it, enriched to 60%, just a step below weapons grade, Iran moved that material underground before the bombs fell. It is buried in tunnels near Isfahan, and those tunnels are too deep to reach. So the material survived, and that material, if enriched further, could produce 9 or more nuclear warheads. Now, the United States made Iran a real offer. Marco Rubio laid it out publicly. If Iran wants civilian nuclear energy, fine. 23 other countries around the world have nuclear power without enriching their own uranium. They import the fuel. So Rubio told Iran it could do the same thing. Buy the fuel, stop enriching. And Iran said no. And that answer tells you everything you need to know, because if your goal is energy, you take that deal. You get your power plants. You get your sanctions lifted. You get your frozen money back. But if your goal is a nuclear weapon, you say no. And Iran said no. So in a previous round of talks, Iran's own negotiators bragged that their stockpile could produce 11 nuclear bombs. They said that out loud at a negotiating table. So a country pursuing energy doesn't brag about how many bombs it can build. Iran keeps telling you what it wants, and it wants a weapon. And the last thing I want to leave you with is the thing that nobody in Western media is covering. While the talks were collapsing in Islamabad, an Iranian citizen writing from inside Iran, connected through Starlink during a total blackout, posted something that stopped me cold. The person said the real mood inside Iran is relief. Relief that the talks collapsed. Because ordinary Iranians do not want their regime to survive through a deal. They want the regime gone. This person described nearly 5 decades of torture, executions, and terror at the hands of the Islamic Republic. They say the Iranian people feel zero sympathy for Hezbollah. They said the regime has always prioritized its terrorist proxies over its own citizens. And they say something I will never forget. For many Iranians, even dying feels better than one more day under these monsters. I grew up watching something similar in my country. I watched Hugo Chavez and Maduro crush a nation and then sit at negotiating tables pretending to be reasonable. And I remember how it felt when the outside world kept giving the regime another chance, and another chance, and another chance, while the people inside were screaming for it to end. So the Iranian people are not asking for more negotiations. The Iranian people are asking for freedom. If you want to go deeper on this, I write about this on my blog. The link is in the description. My name is Jesus Enrique Rosas. I'm the Power Pundit. And please share this video with your family and friends to make sure they know what's really going on. Much love and bliss.